Welcome back, everybody. On today's show, Paul and I are going to talk about the common question that comes up from a lot of new clients. They put a policy in force, it goes active, and the next question is, hey, Paul, Dave, now what? So what did we hit on today, Paul?
Yeah, it's a very common question, but we talked about maybe you eliminate some, you trade out some debts as step one. Maybe you have some high interest rate car payments, right? Some used car payment loans have been pretty high, 8-9% the last few years, right? You could trade those out. You could just think to yourself, well, I'm paying high premium relative to my income now, and I should be happy and satisfied that I'm just doing that. So avoid having the fear of missing out or FOMO, right? I think you are doing something. So we talk about a few other things too. At the end, we talked about 529s, but I would just say, listen, you got any questions, reach out to either Dave or me or both of us. We've likely be able to take you through our own journey as well. So hope you enjoy it.
Hey, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And this is the Wealth Warehouse Podcast. All right. Well, we're back and we're a little bit delayed because we were supposed to start this like an hour ago.
Yeah.
So why were you so late showing up for this?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, in this rental property, I've been dealing with this this toilet issue. It's not disgusting. It's like backed up. It wasn't a backup problem. It was like leaking out of the tank and stuff. And I was like, what the hell is wrong with this thing? So I spent like 3 hours last night going, you know, I went to Home Depot and, you know, came back. And then today, like trying to, you know, fix this. And it's a toilet that looks like a normal toilet, but it had a valve system that I wasn't familiar with. I'm used to like the little tower thing, and then you have that connected to the chain with the flapper.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Pretty simple. Yeah. Very simple. Replaced a bunch of them over the years in my homes. I cracked this thing up and I'm like, what the hell is this? So I was like, what is this thing? So anyway, I swapped it all out, but I couldn't get the right, there's three holes in this toilet where it connects to the lower unit, the bowl, I guess, the tank. So I need to go back to Home Depot and get better, you know, gaskets and stuff. I think that is the problem, is the gaskets I used are just not great or not the right ones for that particular toilet or something. I thought they were pretty universal, but
so
not this one.
I'm confused. You're in a rental. Why are you doing the work yourself? Why don't you just call the landlord, tell him to come fix it?
I did, just because I should have, but I was like, I'll just fix it.
And you're retired. You got the time.
Yeah, just take it off the rent. And I was like, yeah, no problem. So I thought it was going to be like, you know, 5 minutes, boom, boom, swap it all out.
Are you charging him your hourly rate?
Yeah, I'm going to send way less rent for October.
Yeah.
But anyway. There you go. So... yeah, sorry for the delay. It's super annoying.
Yeah, well, glad you got that fixed. That's pretty important. It's like many things in life, that used to be a luxury, indoor plumbing, just like two generations ago.
Right.
And now it's an absolute 100% necessity. So,
got to have it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure your family's very thankful. Do you guys only have one bathroom in that place?
No, we have two.
Okay.
Yeah, we have two.
All right. Well, that's good. All right.
But this place is really designed for one human being, or maybe two people without a kid, maybe just a cat or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've got it to capacity.
Yeah. At capacity.
All right. Well, our thoughts are with you. We hope you get through it.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, let's talk about, with all the new clients we get, they often start with one policy. And I think we'll talk another episode in the future on, if you only have one policy and you've been doing this for a while, why? Why do you only have one? But, common question is people get through that process and it's kind of like anything in life, but you get through this process. You're not going to know everything before you start your journey of infinite banking, but you know enough to take the next step, which put a policy in force. Your policy goes in force, it goes active, and then a whole new list of questions start populating because you're actually practicing this concept. You're doing it. And that you just advance to the next level. So questions start coming up because you've never thought about them before because you weren't doing that, right? One of the first questions that comes up is, now what? Started my policy. Now what, Paul? What do I do?
Right. Well, yeah, they're starting to see the unseen.
Yes. Right?
Things that were unseen or unknown to them before because they weren't looking or weren't thinking about them are now in their face, which is good.
Yep.
Now what? I often tell people this. I was like, well, slow your roll. You are doing something. You started to put capital in a place that you own and control, and that's private, and that's good.
Yep.
Depending on how you started this policy, right? This first policy, maybe you jump started it with a lump sum of paid up additions, and then you're paying your annual or monthly premium on top of that. Maybe you did that, and now you have some liquidity through which you can deploy from the policy into some sort of opportunity that someone brings to you or that you just saw or maybe you were interested in, and now you could actually take advantage of it. So, but I caution people, don't, you know, the process of taking loans and having access to capital is great, but it doesn't just magically add value to your policy, right?
It doesn't. In fact, it doesn't add any value to your policy by taking a loan.
That's right. The act of taking loans, I suppose if you repay your, you know, you're an honest banker, you're paying your interest, you're helping make the company profitable that you part own, right? The life insurance company.
There you go. Sure. But, so you do get some indirect value.
Indirect value.
Or create some for the company that you own. So that makes sense. But that's not a good enough reason just to take a loan.
No, I think at a fundamental level, if this applies to you, I would start with trading out other high interest rate debt. I would take the banking function back against maybe a high interest rate credit card that's at 22%, right? I would start to do that. And I've done that with a few clients. We kind of did like a Dave Ramsey debt snowball, I've talked about it before, where they just started knocking out the smallest, you know, the easy targets, you know, the 50 meter target first, and then just in using loans. So you could actually say this is velocity banking, but using whole life insurance instead of a line of credit, like a HELOC on your home.
Okay.
So that's where I would start, I think, if that applies to you.
Yeah. I think what I've seen in the last couple of years is a lot different than what I saw like in the first 5 years in this business, which is in the first 5 years, most people would get their policy and they would just capitalize. It was just, we're putting this money away. You know, we don't know what we're going to use it for just yet, but we know we'll have needs in the future for financing. So we're going to just capitalize our policy and just let it ride. And then maybe it's a couple of years until they take a loan. Like I've said before on the show, I didn't take my first policy loan until I had my policies in place for 6 years.
Yeah.
They were just capitalizing. No loans whatsoever, no activity at all. And then 6 years later, I started, I took my first loan for an opportunity. So there's nothing wrong with that. But what I've seen in the last couple of years, and it's probably due to all of the marketing, the education out there. And I'm not saying it's all bad, like,
sure,
you know, use your cash value to create passive income. Great. But I think people are more eager now to start taking loans right away, which in and of itself really isn't that bad of a thing, because what that means to me is they're likely paying more premium. Because in order to do that and replace, like you said, some of that interest is going to other financial institutions, other banks, and redirecting that back to yourself. In order to pay off that car loan you have, you need a good amount of capital accumulated. So maybe it's, you know, people are paying bigger premiums so that they can capitalize themselves quicker and start taking over the banking function in different parts of their life quicker. So if that's the case, great. If it's because you got the eager investor syndrome and you think this book called Becoming Your Own Banker actually says becoming your own investment banker, then you misread it. And you needed to, like you said, slow your roll, and because you are doing something by just capitalizing your system right now.
Yeah. And we've seen, you don't want to have FOMO. And I think practicing IBC helps you kind of decrease the tendency to have fear of missing out.
Right. Like, it does decrease. We all missed out on Bitcoin. It doesn't eliminate it.
Yeah. You know, we all missed out on Bitcoin, right? Should have bought it in 2000, whatever, 2011 or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, put 5 cents in and we'd be really, really rich now. Great.
Yeah.
Could have said that about Apple in the early 2000s, late 90s, Amazon. I blazed it with missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Right. So I do think it helps you make better decisions because you can think in the back of your mind, you are doing something. You're building wealth.
Yep.
You're building wealth in a place that you own and control. And that's for a period of time should be satisfactory.
Yeah, I agree. But then, like you said, I think a great place to start is, yeah, look at what other debts you have. And like in my case, I had, say, 2 car loans. Well, if I'm going to pick one over the other, one, I'm going to look like, you know, how much is remaining on them. But really what I've looked at is where am I on the amortization scale? So this might be getting in too much into the details. If you just want to pick one, the one you have enough capital to eliminate and start paying yourself back, just pick that.
Yeah.
Don't get into the details. But if you look and maybe you're kind of early on in that loan, the amortization table is probably saying you're paying a good chunk of that towards interest.
Right.
Whereas if you're at the tail end of that, you only have 1 or 2 years left. Maybe the interest is so low, it's a sunk cost by this point, and that's not such a bad loan anymore. So you can pick and choose what you want to eliminate. But simply, maybe the best, the simplest thing is just to pick the cheapest, the one that has the smallest balance out there, knock that out, redirect those payments back to your own system, save up enough to tackle the next one. Like you said, that snowball method.
Very easy. I like the snowball, and that's kind of how I instructed my clients recommended that they do it, just because what we're trying to free up is monthly cash flow. Yes, we're going to save interest. Yes, all the things. We're going to take over the banking function. Yes, we're going to redirect money back towards ourselves every time we do that, though. So I like the idea of just picking the smallest easy win and just doing it. And not that we encounter this a lot with our clients. We don't. Y'all are, generally very responsible people. You're already well capitalized and you already have the right behavior. You don't have dividend paying whole life insurance to practice IBC with. You have, what everyone else has. You have 401ks and high yield savings and money markets and all the other things out there in the financial space.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, cool. So I'd say after you capitalize and after you start redirecting and taking over the banking function in different parts of your life by eliminating those loans to outside agencies and redirecting that money, the next thing I would say, look for opportunities. And looking for opportunities doesn't mean you pursue opportunities necessarily, but I'd say if you start looking for opportunities, you're going to train yourself. You're going to train your brain to start looking and seeing them. Just do that. It doesn't mean you have to go for it. And that's a great thing about this is I don't have to jump on the first opportunity that comes along. Like, I'm very choosy. And I think maybe it's because of how far along we are in this process. Some people see where we are and how we talk about this stuff and they want to get right there.
Yeah.
But
didn't happen overnight.
I've been doing this for 15 going on 16 years. You've been doing this for 7 years.
Yeah.
Seven years. And then some people, are 6 months in, try to jump to the place of somebody who's been doing it for 15 years. Don't feel like you need to be there. It's okay for it to take time.
I practiced IBC at a low level since 2003.
Yeah, right. I guess so.
Technically, just with the wrong product and not nearly enough premium.
Yep.
But I was going to say, we've discussed it before, I think the next step, kind of while you're doing that debt snowball and you're starting your IBC journey, is to build that your emergency fund from your policy or system of policy.
Yeah,
that's
for sure.
That's where it should reside. So I say, as you're doing the debt thing, you keep that reserve, keep snowballing those debts down. And then you've got after that's done, you've built up your reserve. And then on top of that, Davis said this in several podcasts, anything you know, whatever it's 6 months, 3 months, whatever you think you need, anything above that becomes your opportunity fund. So if you're one of those clients or listeners that has a separate emergency fund and you're compartmentalizing it outside of your policy, that's a mistake.
It's a big mistake because
it's a huge mistake. And I don't understand. Yeah. Chime in the comments. Why are you doing that? But because to us, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't have any money sitting in a, unless it's future premium, sitting in a savings account.
Like, do you have a credit card? That's your immediate, you need money this very minute fund.
Right.
You don't need to access your emergency fund immediately. You can have it in your policy and access it by the time that credit card bill comes due.
Right. 30 days, right?
That's right. You know, and if you're keeping a big amount in a checking account and carrying a debit card, that's a big mistake in the first place. That's not secure. I'll tell you that, like my son, I was checking his account
just recently.
And it was, you know, he made a purchase on eBay. I know a lot of people do this. I've personally never purchased anything on eBay because I don't trust it.
Get to use PayPal.
Okay. Well, he did it straight from his debit card.
Yep.
And the very next day, we saw 10 $70 withdrawals to a grocery store in 10 different locations in the Southeast.
Wow.
And the only thing I can take it back to is the fact that he used his debit card on eBay to buy something. So immediately called the bank, they canceled the card, they're investigating, and they better be, I haven't checked, but you know, they will be reimbursing for that $700 of fraud. But get rid of your stupid debit card with all that money attached to it. Use a credit card. That's the most protection you could possibly have.
Yeah. I have rarely, if ever, have like done the, you know, debit card, punching your PIN at the grocery store or something for cash back or whatever. That's the only time I've ever used that.
I carry one for ATM. Yeah.
ATM
get cash
machine.
Out of the
that's
ATM.
It.
But it doesn't have a whole lot of money on there. Somebody's not going to be able to get away with a lot.
Yeah, that's right. We don't keep a lot of money there, folks. Like we practice what we preach around here at the Wealth Warehouse podcast, and we keep our money in whole life insurance policies.
Yep.
A whole bunch of them.
Yep. Absolutely. So train your brain to look for opportunities, because when you're ready and the right one comes along, you'll be able to capitalize on it. But don't be afraid if that takes a long time to find the right one. If you go looking, you're going to see all kinds of awesome real estate investment opportunities, you know, and every real estate investor knows exactly what they're talking about, and they're brilliant, and they're the best, and you'll never lose money.
Yeah. Until they don't return your capital.
Until they don't return your capital, which that's happened to me. It's happened to many people, many clients I've talked to.
Yep.
So just guard yourself. Make sure you know what you're doing.
It's not always going to be an external opportunity that's the best. It might be an opportunity that you create yourself.
Yep.
Stop growling. What are you growling at?
Now, the next thing, I'd say, going back to what we mentioned at the beginning, one policy is great, but more policies is better. Expand your system. It's not a one and done kind of thing. Like Nelson talks about, if you want to make this a generational thing, if you want to completely replace the commercial banking system from your life, then it's going to take, like Nelson says, the average person 20 years to do so. And guess what? That policy you started 20 years ago is not going to be big enough for you to be able to do that. It's a series of policies. So you need to be thinking, how can I expand my system? So what are, you know, what would you say are some of the best ways to go about expanding your system?
Well, I talked about with clients last night, when your kids leave the home and they go out and conquer the world, that should result generally in a windfall of money on a monthly basis, right? Your grocery bill, gas, water, all those things, especially if you have like three girls in the house, or I guess four in the house like Dave does, and they have a lot of hair, and it takes, you know, 40 minutes to rinse it out, and, you know. So there should be a windfall of money there. That could, or you paid off, maybe you eliminated that credit card debt with a policy loan, and now the policy loan's paid off, and now, you know, you've got the discipline, and now there's extra money there. So, you paid off a vehicle. There's any number of things where, or or these are kind of like lifestyle things. Maybe you got a raise. Maybe you opened a side business. Maybe you got a new job that has a $25,000 a year higher salary, which that does happen. Happens to people all the time. Any number of things. So try to increase your means, I would say, is the general theme. If you want, you know, I always wondered growing up, like, how do these people have these things? You know, the people that have the nice houses, the nice, they had BMWs. And I was like, they're so rich. Like, oh my God.
They didn't do it by decreasing their expenses only.
Correct. They might have been cheap, like, or in Dave's, you know, case, very frugal.
Fiscally responsible.
Discerning, fiscally responsible, right? Yep. They may have been like that, but they were productive people. And I always think back to this one family. They owned donut shops, a whole bunch of them. And people in Massachusetts love donuts. I mean, my hometown had 5 Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
5.
I thought about opening a donut shop back in 2015.
Yeah. I think I would do ice cream.
Yeah, I don't think
not
I would
everyone
do either
likes
anymore.
No, ice cream, you look at what they're getting per scoop, even around here where I live, $5.
And it can be seasonal. You just do it in the summer. We have a great place called Licks downtown. They're only open in the summer.
They close
when it gets cold. Yeah, it's so good.
We were walking by at your retirement.
Line is always out the door.
I walked in there, got a vanilla with some Jimmies, which are chocolate sprinkles for you, those of you who don't habla. Massachusetts speak.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah. So increase your means. I had this conversation with a current shared client of ours who's going through underwriting right now. And he's kind of doing, I think he's done with the debt snowball. He's doing the income snowball. So, you know, kind of creating that on the side. And he's saying, well, what's the quickest way to expand my system? And the quickest way to expand your system is to increase your means, period.
Yep, make more money.
So I think we talked about this, you know, 150 episodes ago, but it's like you should be spending 95% of your time when it comes to thinking about your finances, thinking about how to increase your means, and 5% of your time thinking about how to decrease your expenses. Decreasing your expenses, you know, you do that a couple times a year. Look over the bills and be like, we have 2 Amazon Prime subscriptions. Let's get rid of one of them. So I'm guilty of that. But increasing your means, you can think about that daily and it's unlimited. So that is, in my experience, the quickest way to expand your system.
Yeah, that's right. I remember my father, when we needed more money, he took on another job.
Yeah. Like we say all the time, who told you that you only need one job?
Yeah, he had 3.
Yeah.
my whole life. So,
I mean, good
for
him.
Do what it takes.
And that's what I tell my kids. I'm like, oh, the grocery store only gave you 2 shifts this week? Okay, go get another job, a second job.
Right.
Like, what's so hard about that? You know, and Bo does. He works with his buddy, go clean windows and things like that. So it's great. And Jack works with me a little bit in the business. So that's kind of a second source of income, right? So, you can always expand your means somehow. If you're a business owner, I know people who, you know, are starting a business, maybe they're a consultant or they got a service-based business and I ask them how much they're charging and they say, yeah, I'm pretty much the lowest in the area. I'm like, well, you know, an easy way to increase your income is just increase your prices.
Yeah.
Because, you know, good clients don't want the cheapest person.
They're
probably going to disregard the cheapest person and go somewhere in the mid-range. I'm not looking for the cheapest house cleaners if they're charging $75 per cleaning. I'm like, I'm not sure that's going to be quality. I don't think that'd be quality. So I want to go higher.
That would have been a good price in 1988.
Yeah. Right. That's probably what my mom charged when she was cleaning houses. She had a side job cleaning houses when I was a kid. Yeah. So here's another way to expand your system. Go back to, what was the recent episode we did?
Is 189, I think, wasn't it?
Is it 189?
No, hold on. Nope.
Go back. It was 186. Go back to episode 186. Watch that one on YouTube about capturing some of your big annual or semi-annual expenses as PUA premium, which I've done that recently with a client who heard the episode, watched the video, contacted me. His wife has a convertible term in place. We created a design, looked at, you know, all of his big expenses every 6 to 12 months that he makes in big chunks. And that's, you know, escrow, a country club membership, charitable giving, vacation savings. And we took about 50% of that, created PUA premium out of that. And then from his regular cash flow, created enough base to have a nice solid foundation. And we're putting that in force right now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's a great way to do it. I've sent that episode to several people. Got to watch it on YouTube, obviously.
But yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yep. So again, other way. Now, here's one of the easiest ways to expand your system after mom and dad have life insurance policies. Who's next?
Kiddos.
Kids, man. Kids. And a little bit of premium goes a long way. Yeah.
I had that conversation last night as well. It was a girl that I went to college with and her husband, and just got approved. So we're going to put that policy in force. Large convertible term as well. So we did a bunch of underwriting. And then the plan is to actually open up another policy here within 60 or 90 days. They had some, you know, some job switching going on, and but it's going to be significant premium, like higher than I don't know if they listen, but if they are, I told them this last night that it was their premium they want to pay is higher than I expected them. You know, if I could go back a year when I was first started talking to them about it, like it's significant premium. It is. Is it appropriate for their income level? Yes, but most people start way too low. So if that's you out there listening, again, not trying to make you premium poor, but some of you, your premiums relative to your household income are anemic.
Right. Especially as your income grows, you need to reevaluate how much premium you're paying, because every time you get a raise, the amount of premium you're paying relative to your income drops in percentage.
Right. And you might say, well, I want to drive a nicer car. I want nicer things. And that's all great. That's lifestyle creep. But do IBC at a high level, and that can enable your lifestyle creep.
Yes. I mean, if that's
probably
more
bad
important
advice, but if you're responsible, you can have it. What I'm saying is you can have both.
Well, I mean, there's lifestyle creep, and then there's taking a reasonable percentage of your income increase and applying that to improving your lifestyle.
Right.
Go to that's what you work for.
Twice a month.
Yeah.
For some milk and cookies. Just for dessert.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't go there twice a month. Oh, maybe just for dessert. That's a good idea.
So, folks, Manny's is a really good steakhouse in Minneapolis. So if you're in that area and you happen to look for a good place to eat, get reservations at Manny's, downtown technically, right?
Yeah.
But they have this dessert. It's new. It's called adult milk and cookies, excuse me. And it's like a deconstructed chocolate chip cookie, chewy, with mixed with like a sweetened mascarpone cheese. It is phenomenal. Yep. It's one of the best things I ever ate. Even Dave liked it, and he doesn't really like food. So,
oh, I love good food. Yeah. I'm not a foodie though. I mean, like,
right,
Texas Roadhouse, they make a fine
actually
ribeye.
For the money, it ain't bad.
Yeah. Although it's a lot more expensive now than it used to be, as I remember it. Yep. But as is everything.
Yep.
So there you go. There's some ways to answer that question. Now what? My policy is enforced. Now what do I do? And every case is going to be different. But in general, we'd say spend time capitalizing. Once you're capitalized, redirect the payments you're making to outside financial institutions, pay those off and redirect those payments back to your own. Look for opportunities. Yep. and plan to expand your system.
And, you know, prepare for windfall. One of Nelson's new rules, right, was prepare for windfalls. Mm-hmm. And I just thought of something that I want to plug because we're talking about children, Dave. And I've talked about this with several people over the last month. More 529s are just coming, you know, they're falling out of trees every time I talk to somebody. Like, oh, I have one of those. Can I use it now? And I'm like, well, maybe. And we look at it and I was like, listen, talk to your accountant, do some research on your own, but you can find But if your kids are in, you know, private school, you can use it for most educational expenses now. But what you should do is really, it's just accounting, like $10,000 tuition payment, $10,000 withdrawal out of the 529. That $10,000 that comes from the 529 could be premium.
Exactly. And you know, another thing, I just thought about this, the 529, it's just another form of brainwashing, because who said, how do you know your one-year-old child is going to go to college?
you don't.
You don't. How do you know, like, is the ROI on college even worth it? Like, give me a break. Yeah, my 1-year-old's definitely going to college. Maybe they're not.
Maybe they're not.
Yeah. And now you're putting money into a place you can only use it for those educational expenses. So it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now you force your child to go to college and maybe they're not cut out for it. Maybe it's a waste of money and a waste of time.
Yeah. Or maybe they were incredible athletes and students, and they got grants and scholarships that paid their entire way. And now you've got $200,000 locked up in this thing. And of course they're like, well, I could use it for their master's degree. I'm like, I'm not paying for that.
Yeah. Give me a break. You know, and maybe that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Maybe they wouldn't even get scholarships or even try, because dad's got 200 grand that I can use for college. Why do I need to try to get a scholarship or go to ROTC or figure out a way to pay for college?
So. Yeah. So the bottom line is, just talking financially here, is that 529's rate of return is likely, I'll just say it likely, it's not going to keep up with the cost of tuition. So that means that those dollars are worth more right now than they will be 15 years from now, or 10 years from now, or 5 years from now.
Yeah, it's so, especially not going to keep up when everybody's doing it, which means everybody's sending their children to college. College will continue to rise in cost.
Right, especially when the taxpayer is guaranteeing student loans.
Supply and demand.
So, right. So use that money now. It's worth more today.
Yep. There you go. All right. Well, that was a whole other episode. That was a mini episode inside.
Mini episode, like in 3 minutes.
There you go. If you still think 529s are a great idea, well, let's talk. So we can find something better to do with your capital. So, all right, everybody, enjoy. And speaking of capital, until next time, control your capital.
Or somebody else will.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. If you'd like to have a conversation with us to see how you can become your own banker, or if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to tackle on a future episode, please send us an email to davidandpaul@theibcguys.com.
And subscribe and leave us a review if you're on Apple. Follow and leave us a 5-star review if you're on Spotify. And please share this with your friends. We'll see you next week.